You're listening to Red Eye on Vancouver Cooperative Radio, CFRO at 100.5 FM.
The Rainier Hotel is a three-story heritage structure built in the 1920s. It now operates 41 units of supportive housing for women at risk and has created a unique and much-needed outreach for women. In December, the Rainier had its funding terminated, and without any other agency stepping in, it has reverted to single-room occupancy status. This week, director Colin Askey premiered a short film titled A Long Journey Home, The Rainier Story. It's a moving account of the women who reside at the hotel. And I'm now joined by Colin to talk about his most recent film and some of the issues it raises. Hello, Colin.
Hi there.
Thanks so much for coming in.
Thanks for having me.
Tell us just, first of all, I mentioned the Rainier Hotel, but I didn't really say anything about it, where it is or what it looks like. Tell us, what's the physical structure of the hotel?
It's a beautiful building, and it's on the corner of Carroll and Cordova. And I can't remember really what it was like before, but 4 or 5 years ago, it had the funding to, I guess, get made nice.
It's really got a beautiful traditional piece of, is it neon?
Neon sign, yeah. It says Rainier Hotel.
So tell us about the film. What is the film about?
The film is about the ladies there and what they're going through right now with the funding cuts, and it's more something that they wanted to do to raise awareness to their situation, and I was glad to help them out with that, and just kind of outlines exactly what they're going through, the funding that's been cut, the programs that they've lost, and how it's affecting them.
Now, you have a bit of a history here in the Downtown East Side. You work down here. How did you get involved in doing the film?
I work for the PHS, and so I've worked down here for about 6 or 7 years, and over the years I've met a lot of the ladies down here and are in the Rainier. And I've worked with some of them on different projects. I went to Paris for the Homeless World Cup with Paula, and she's a pretty awesome lady. And I've gotten to meet them and see what awesome ladies they are. So when I heard about the funding cuts, I was more than happy to help them out in any way I could.
So tell me about the film, kind of a little bit about sort of how it's structured and what we see when we watch the film.
Well, we see a little bit background of where these ladies come from, how it impacted them right away when they moved in, and the changes they made in their lives, how, like, for a lot of them, the first time in their lives, they finally had hope, they finally felt they were in a place that could actually help them and understand them. A lot of these ladies are from a population that other services don't want to deal with, so a lot of them just felt welcome at the Rainier, and we're looking forward to getting in there, and sure enough, a lot of them just right away started making those changes in their lives, and for the first time actually, you know, experiencing recovery and all sorts of things. And then it deals with the loss of the funding, and how hard it's been on them, and how hard they're fighting to get it back.
Tell me about how you picked the title, A Long Journey Home, because that... I think we know for people how important home is.
Yeah, exactly. I think a lot of them down here haven't had that experience, and a lot of these ladies, I think there's very few of us that can imagine what they've been through and what they've experienced, and the feeling I got from a lot of them, the title actually came from a friend of mine, it wasn't mine, so it was from Claire, so thanks, Claire, but I felt it just, you know, it captured what a lot of the women were talking about and what they felt coming to the Rainier.
Now, I'd like to know a little bit more about maybe a couple of the women from the hotel. You mentioned Paula that you went to. Did you go to Paris?
Yeah.
With her? Tell me about Paula.
Paula is just a wonderful lady. She's super positive, has a smile that breaks your heart and warms your heart. I guess I shouldn't say breaks your heart, but she is, I think, a perfect example of someone that has been through hell and back, and now is at the Rainier and has a big smile on every day, does what she can to help others, and her community is very active in the community, and just an awesome, awesome person.
Mm. It's probably somebody that I've seen down here and just don't know her by name.
Yeah.
What about Cynthia Mack?
Cynthia, I actually met just during the filming, and kind of blew me away with her story. She's very soft-spoken and quiet, with a huge heart and tons of courage. And she's a great example of just how hard, I think, like, for me, I'm someone that's gone through treatment myself at an earlier age, and so I know a bit about how hard it is to battle addiction, and also how easy it is to just give up. And the one thing I couldn't imagine with these ladies is how hard they're fighting, not only for their own recovery, but to have a place to do so. And Cynthia's courage and her just wanting to get this message out there was pretty humbling for me.
Tell me about some of the issues that the film tries to raise around women's treatment of addiction for these women.
I think tries to address that the importance of that there's not one answer, that everyone has their own path to recovery. And what the Rainier did was try and help out with all those aspects and different programs and give the ladies an outlet to experience those, you know, in any way possible. And so just tons of programs and just support for whatever they needed.
Hmm. Now, I understand that the Rainier was run by the Portland Hotel Society, and that it used to be funded by Vancouver Coastal Health. What happened there?
So the original funding was $10 million put in from the province and $5 million one-time only federal government funding, and that went through Vancouver Coastal Health. And that was there was a time limit on that was going to run out this year, but we were hoping that someone would step up and keep it going, because it's a very successful program. And you know, with the Wally Opal report coming out about the murdered missing women's, and just, you know, of all the places I think in this country that needs a women's treatment center, this is probably it, and should be the main focus, and should be where all our efforts are put into. And so sadly, no one stepped up, and now the funding's gone, and the food's been cut, and a lot of these ladies have gone back now, and it's a really terrible situation now.
Tell us about that, because I know that the women can continue to live there, but now they're living in what's basically a single room occupancy hotel. What's been the impact on them from losing that place of support that helped them pull their lives together and have a place they could call home, to a place that's now basically an SRO?
Yeah, sadly, it's just another kind of stab in the back for them. And I think, like, they've gone through their lives with not a lot of people wanting to really step up to help this population. And I think it's just another, you know, going through treatment myself, I remember, like, I was court ordered to treatment when I was young, and it was either there or jail. And treatment is so hard, you know, you're having to face things that you don't want to look at. And for me, I was about a week into treatment, and I was like, screw this. And I, you know, it was like, take me to jail. I don't want to look at this stuff.
Easier.
Yeah. And so you're looking just about any way to go back and get out of there. It's a very powerful addiction is. And so, you know, these ladies, you know, have had all the, I can't imagine, you know, and they've gone through a hell of a lot worse than I ever had to go through. And so, you know, there used to be a support staff to be there for them. And when, you know, sometimes it's minute to minute of like trying to hang in there. And there used to be that to go, you know, people to talk to and everything that, and they've lost that. And so since the funding's been cut, they've lost their food. I've heard this week, you know, it's been pouring rain and these ladies are now in food lines. And you know, when there's that need to go back, or that you're having that second thoughts, there's no one there to sit down with them and say, hey, you know, stick it out for another minute or a day, you know. And so it's, I think things are going down pretty quickly.
The film's obviously had a big impact on you, and I know the people who have seen it have said that it's a marvelous film. What do you hope that people will take from seeing the film?
I just hope they get it out there. I think that what we need is more public awareness and more people, you know, to go into the government saying, this is what we need. We need this. Like, part of the campaign was we were on the street and with the camera, and we were interviewing just people walking by, and There wasn't one. Well, there was one person he just was worried about paying taxes. But everyone else was like, "Yeah, what?" You know, they were first shocked that we didn't already have a women's treatment center in the downtown East Side, and secondly, they couldn't believe that the funding was cut. So I think people, it's like a no brainer, as the Rainier campaign says, that people want this and they want to support these ladies and they want people to get help. So. There's no question that no one would support this. It's just about raising awareness that this is happening and people need to know. And you can see that on the YouTube as well. There's the clips of the people that we've talked to, and it wasn't edited out, you know, all the people that said no. There was everyone, of course, you know, would support something like this. So more awareness we need.
I understand it's quite a short film. Did you feel that there were things that you really would have liked to have gone into that you didn't have the opportunity to do with doing a short?
Absolutely. There's so many things, lots of, you know, where the stories of that was awesome to be able to listen to of where these ladies have come from, you know, would blow your mind. And it's really terribly sad what they've had to go through and then now this, but also just... One thing that stood out for me that I never really had a space to put it in there was how these ladies, the number one thing that they talked about, their number one fear during all of this was about all the ladies that wouldn't have the chance that they've had. And I thought that just floored me. You know, this is the type of people have all these biases and opinions of what people in this neighborhood are like. And I haven't seen, you know, courage like this in many people that I've seen in these ladies, and all of them, you know, to be more concerned about all the ladies that wouldn't get help than themselves. It was pretty humbling for me.
Sounds like an amazing film and an amazing journey you've been on making the film. Mm-hmm. How can people see it?
So it should be online probably in the middle of the week sometime, and you can view it on youtube.com/RainierHotel. And please just post it as most places as you can, and just try and get the word out there.
Really appreciate your seeing it, and I'll be looking for it on YouTube this week.
Awesome! Thanks so much for having me.
Okay, it's been great talking to you.
All right, thanks.
I've been speaking with Colin Askey. He's director of the film A Long Journey Home, which premiered earlier this week at the Rio Theater in Vancouver, and it's going to be available online midweek this week. You can go, as Colin has said, to youtube.com/RainierHotel. You can also find it on Vimeo, so probably the best thing to do there is go to vimeo.com, vimeo.com, and then just search on Rainier Hotel.
This podcast was produced by the Red Eye Collective in Vancouver, BC. If you live in the Vancouver area and are interested in creating alternative radio with us, we'd love to hear from you. Contact us at redeye@cooperadio.com.